Hello and welcome to episode one of the Power Pod. I'm Philippa Tuttia, former Welsh international rugby player, and I am joined alongside a gentleman whose smile allows him to get away with saying nearly anything. It is the gorgeous TNT commentator Nick Heath.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. Now I know that. The danger that I could cause. This is exciting, isn't it?
I am so excited. Oh my gosh, it's finally happening.
Yeah, indeed. I think I've been avoiding getting myself involved in a weekly podcast for a while. It feels like a lot of responsibility, but you know, exciting to be here.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to have so much to talk about, aren't we? Right, let's tell the people what they are going to get and what they are not going to get from this pod.
Yes, absolutely. You will get analysis on the games, the teams and the players.
You will get some top quality guests, including yourselves. More on that in a mo.
You will get clips of players, coaches and pundits from across the PWR.
You won't get endless minutes of bants and chats about what we had for breakfast.
There's a lot of that out there, I think. So what we want to do is be a little bit different, don't we? We want to basically home in on what you're going to get, what we've seen, what we can look forward to, your expert analysis. I mean, that's why we've got you here.
Yeah, thank you. No, look, this is the time, isn't it? This is the best league in the world and building up into what is going to be one of the biggest seasons ever, building into that England World Cup next year. This is the time that we really start to highlight the skills, the tactics that these teams are using, because this is the forefront of women's rugby.
Yeah, it certainly is. And also it's this contracted season, isn't it? Which I'm sure we'll talk about as it goes. But, you know, this PWR season is going to finish in the middle of March as opposed to June, so that everything is out of the way for the teams and the players to prep for that World Cup. So it's contracted, it's congested, it's going to demand a lot from the players back to back. So it's going to be big. And hey, look, for those who are new to this parish, obviously we've introduced ourselves a little bit at the start, but it's only polite to perhaps explain a little bit more. So Phil, rugby and Welsh Sevens as well, tell us a little bit more about you.
Oh, okay. Well, I retired in 2018. That was after the Commonwealth Games. That was my last ever tournament in the Sevens jersey. And to be honest, I never thought about getting into commentary or analysis. I run a building company. I thought, right, it's time to grow up, put the rugby ball down and focus on the building. And then I had an opportunity to get involved with a Welsh program called Scrum 5, a big program here in Wales. And I just loved it. And you know what it gave me, right? One of the things that... There are many things I thought I'd miss about rugby, but it was that feeling in the tunnel, you know, when you can hear the clattering of the studs. It's always like a concrete base, and you look out of the tunnel, you can see the crowd, you can just that sound. And the energy in that tunnel, the nerves, it's electric. You know, you're like, is this going to be the best game of my life? Could this be the worst game of my life? I have no idea. But you know what? I just think, you know, you've done everything you can to be in the best position you can possibly be. Now go out and play, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the thing. I thought, I'm never going to have that again. But you know what? That's okay, because that's what makes playing rugby so special, is those moments. But then when I was sat, and it was like a sofa on Scrum 5, and it was, you know, it was very relaxed, but it was live TV, first time I'd done it, and the producer comes on the set, and he goes, right, everybody, we are live in 3, 2, 1. And I was like, oh my God. There's that nerves, there's that excitement, there's that, I have no idea what they're going to ask me.
Yeah.
I have no idea if I'm going to say something stupid, but I've done, you know, all my prep and I've watched the games. And you know what? I'm just talking about the game I love, the game I played. And it was that feeling that kind of got me hooked. And then I started then, you know, asking around and how do I get more involved in different games? And, you know, being able then, I went on the Seven series, something I still work on now. And I love learning now the differences in women's rugby, men's rugby, seeing how Sevens is crossing over. And you know, when I stopped playing, you know, there are many people say, I want to stop playing because, you know, through on my own terms, when I'm fit and healthy and the top of my game. And that's exactly how I thought I wanted to stop. But the reality is I kept playing because I love the game. And I was never going to turn around and go, oh, I'm done now, thanks. You know, I'm over this. You know, I had to lose the cartilage. I left it in Australia. And that was the only reason I stopped,
very,
you know.
Careless of you.
Yeah, I know. But that meant that I finished because my body couldn't do, you know, what I wanted it to do. And my gosh, it had given me many, many years in the game. But I still had a mind so inquisitive and a heart so genuinely full of love for the game. So now commentary is brilliant. I still get to learn about the game. I get to be involved. I get to go to the stadiums, you know, and you get all that buzz and being around in it. So, yeah, that was 2018. Yeah, and time's flown.
There we go. The fact that you're still wearing your studs whenever you go into the Scrum 5 studio is neither here nor there. I mean, that will eventually wear off, I hope.
I just like to create the atmosphere, you know.
Just to get that noise. Although that was really atmospheric. You definitely took me there. Yeah, love that. Well, yes, for anybody who doesn't know me, I've been a commentator on the women's game for probably pushing about 15 years now. My sister played when she was at university. She walked up to the captain of the first 15 and said, "Where do I register for the women's team?" And he hurriedly looked behind him, picked up a piece of paper and a clipboard, handed it to her and said, "Put your name at the top, you're the captain." So that's how that started way back in the late 80s. And my cousin played as well. So I kind of, you know, there is actually footage of me behind my dad's camcorder in about 1994 when my cousin's team in, where was she at that point, Marlow or Henley, was playing my sister at Blackheath. And I'm filming and actually remarking from behind the camera. So you could say I've been commentating on women's rugby since 1994.
And that just came naturally to you. You just did that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. The youngest of three, I think a microphone or showing off was never too far away. But yeah, got into rugby broadcasting. Have never looked back. A bit like you, love it. Rugby family. My dad was a ref for 25 years. I used to run touch for him. Absolutely love the game. Love the opportunity to talk about it and to bring people closer to the action and explain why certain things are happening. Mm-hmm. It's not the most straightforward of sports at times, and they change the laws all the time.
Yeah.
So hopefully through the PowerPod, we can bring you a little bit closer. We can help you understand what's going on. Philippa will bring the analysis and hopefully we'll have a bit of fun doing so. We should also give a due mention to our friend Caleb, who is in the corner of the room doing the editing for us, running around and making sure we can be heard nice and clearly. So Caleb, thank you for all that you are doing for us. Now, a bit of housekeeping. We are going to be coming to you every PWR match week with a preview of the weekend's action ahead. Expect us in your podcast inboxes on a Thursday morning, looking ahead to the next round of fixtures. And because of that condensed fixture list, well, what better time for us to be your accompaniment? The applesauce to your pork, the ketchup to your chips, the Nick Heath to your Philippa Tatias. Right then. We should have a quick look over the league in generality. And then I think Caleb is going to time us to keep to 90 seconds for each team, because we want to keep to our brief of keeping this a fairly punchy length. We will see how we do on that over the course of the season. So, Gloucester Hartbury, defending champions. They beat Bristol at Sandy Park earlier in June.
And what a game that was. I mean, Gloucester Hartbury were absolutely on form, but Bristol Bears bought it in that final. Can they back it up this season?
Yes, the hallowed three-peat is being thrown around. But Saracens, Exeter, Bristol, they are going to want to put an end to the circus's reign and possibly a Lightning side to whom fifth won't be good enough. It's a nine-team league, hopefully, as everybody knows. So four fixtures each week. One team has a bye. That's generally how we're looking over the course of it.
Yeah, absolutely. One team gets that rest week, which, you know, when you talk about that compact season where players are going to have to be managed, that's going to be quite pivotal as to where that bye week lands for each team.
Yeah, certainly is. Right then, well, who is going to come out on top by the end of this season? We are going to be with you every step of the way. There's also, of course, been a few changes in the coaching departments. Mm-hmm. We've lost a few, we've gained a few.
Yeah, the big one for me is Giselle Mather. You know, gosh, the history she has in the women's game. She started Trailfinders from scratch and they had a good season last year. Mm. I mean, their debut season, they got a couple of scalps, but unfortunately she parted. And we saw her, didn't we, of the launch of the Women in Union, that association, which is fantastic. We saw her there and I said, look, you must be staying in the women's game. What are you doing? And she just had this cheeky smile. I said, you can't tell me, can you? And she said, no, I can't. Literally the next day, social media, GB7's coach. So yeah. Amazing she's still in the game, but it is a loss to PWR.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we've lost Amy Turner, who's departed from the Stoop. Vicky McQueen, no longer at Mattioli Woods, Welford Roads. So we've got the likes of Ross Chisholm, Barney Madison and Tom Hudson taking charge of Quinns, Trailfinders and Tigers, respectively. Susie Appleby, Rachel Taylor, the only women coaches left in the league. But it is that thing. We would love there to be more women's coaches, of course. Mm-hmm. But I know the players will say we want the best people for the job.
Absolutely. Look, that's where, you know, true equality lies. The best person. Simple.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the salary cap is a bit more this season. Some teams have gone shopping. It is time for Caleb to start putting his first 90 seconds on the clock because we're going to start with Bristol Bears. Are we ready? Time starting? All right, here we go then. So our first team to run the rule over, Bristol Bears. They certainly led most of the final against Gloucester Hartbury, ran out of steam in that last 20 minutes. They beat Saracens in the epic semi-final away. What do you think Dave Ward wants out of this season?
You know what? It's got to be more consistency in their performance because they were up and down, left and right and all over the place. You know, the beginning of the season, they had some big defeats with the top four, yet somehow managed to pull it all together towards the end. If they can start well this year, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with. The transfer, to be honest with you, this is the big transfer I was looking at, all right? This particular player was playing university, well, was at university in Scotland, so she couldn't play in the PWR, but I knew she was graduating this year, and I was like, who is going to get her? Emma Orr. Honestly, she is going to be the next big thing. I mean, when you've got someone like Emily Scarrett, the world-renowned best centre of her day, saying, oh my gosh, have you seen Emma Orr? Then you know you've got a good player.
Yeah.
And she's young. Was she 22? Like, she's got so much developing. So she, brilliant signing for her, for Bristol Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, they've got Natalie Evans, former Worcester Warrior, Jasmine Joyce, who is you know, going to be there when she's not playing Team GB Sevens. They've lost the likes of Grace Crompton, Grace White, two young flyers that they've had. Gwentleyan Purse, who's gone to Sale Sharks. We might talk a little bit more there later.
Yes. And
it's interesting because obviously we've got international players away for the first 2 weeks of the league, which we haven't mentioned yet, but is huge because WXV crosses over rounds one and two, and arguably when we get to round three, how many players will have jet lag or be required to turn out on the field? So when you look back at that Bristol team, they are going to be missing quite a few from their starting lineup that played. I think it's about 10 that are unavailable due to WXV. So you look at their opponents over those first two, three games. That third round match against Saracens, that's at Ashton Gate. It's a doubleheader. The women play at 12 and then the men play at 3. So, yeah, is that going to be an opportunity for them to have some of their internationals back? How will Saracens play it? That has really, really caught the eye already.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we mentioned before, with the World Cup at the end, even though it's a compacted season, players are going to have to be managed. There is no way they're playing every single weekend in PWR. So if there was ever a test in strength and depth to determine the winner of PWR, it's going to be this season.
Now, I'm fairly sure, Phil, we have gone well over our 90 seconds there, so we'll have to try and speed this up.
We've started well.
I know, haven't we? All right, let's move on then to Exeter Chiefs. They lost a semi-final. They look better than everyone else below them, but they never really threatened the top three. They're keen to point out 16 players involved in WXV currently for seven different nations. They've got Flo and Emily Robinson. The girls will go up against their old club, Quins, on Saturday. Flo actually returning to Chiefs after a year away studying for her Masters. Emily only played for Quins before coming to the Chiefs. And they've got Zara Feyenati, who was born in Trowbridge, played for Wellington Pride in New Zealand under-18s, was a New Zealand under-20s development player. I swear from here, I can almost hear Susie Appleby purring over the interest of Zara wanting to join Sister Maddie. It's a good signing.
Oh, it's an absolutely fantastic signing. And in the essence of 90 seconds, I'm not going to add too much because you put everything in there. Look, I love the way Exeter play. For them, it's going to be consistency in selection. They chop and change their squad a lot. Maybe that's because of all the internationals they've got. But look, they're a brilliant team. If they can, I think, hone in on their 9, 10, 12, especially stop messing around with them too much, they could be one of the top this year.
Yeah, and Liv McGovern, who is back there as well, top point scorer a couple of seasons ago with 180. She is going to be a real addition. They've got the likes of Charlie Jacoby back as well, Georgina Tasker from Lightning. Interesting to see the number of players that have left Lightning, and we will come on to that as we're wound up by Caleb to move on to the next team. A couple of the big outs there. Nicola Friday obviously retired. Harriet Miller-Mills gone. Lizzie Hanlon gone. Anyway, we move on. Gloucester Hartbury, the next one. It's a good test,
yes,
this, isn't it?
It is a really good test.
Okay, let's mention the word three-peat again because I don't think we've mentioned it enough. Not been done before in the new era of P15s,
yes.
Since 2017, but it was done in the days of the Women's Premiership by Wasps, Saracens and Richmond. They almost handed it over to each other in terms of winning it in successive years through the noughties. What do you make of the champions?
Yeah, Sean Lynn's got such a good thing going there. I'm really liking the connection they've got with Hartbury College. They've actually got five players that have come from Hartbury College now signing up and going into the senior squad. Look, when we talked about those players going away for international duty, there is one player that Seanlin has got, which it still blows my mind that she's not being selected, but she is one of the top point scorer, Emma Singh, and she is going to be there all season. Mm. If we get to fantasy PWR, Emma Singh's got to be top points. Like, she kicks them, she scores them, she tackles them, and she's going to be there throughout. She's going to be key this year.
Yeah, some other notable names coming in then. Karis Williams-Morris from Lightning, Lisa Coburn from the Tigers, Ellie Green, fly half from Trailfinders. Sean Jones, an interesting one, of course. 5 caps for Wales now, was in that Six Nations squad earlier this year. And signs from Sale Sharks. I think she could be an interesting one. We talked about the Bristol in that final. Currently, for those first two rounds, if you're looking at the lineup from that final in June, Gloucester Hartlepool will be without 12, such as the WXV duty and injury status there. So that is going to be really interesting. Another quick nod, Charlie Woodman, GB7. She played a bit at the Chiefs and Matatu, a winger who picked up a Super Rugby Aupiki player of the match nod, and she's at Gloucester Hartlepool as well. So it's interesting to see the recruitments that Seanlin has taken in there to cover where he thinks he's going to lose his internationals at key times.
Tactical. Right, let's talk Harlequins. They used to be in the final. Well, they won it, didn't they? When did they win it? God, now we're testing knowledge.
2021.
Caleb, thank you. Excellent. Look, they've got, it seems like they've got all the support. They've got the facilities. They've got the game changer event where they've got, last year, wasn't it, a record attendance at a PWR game. They're doing it again this year, actually. That's going to be on, let's give it a shout out, the 26th of October against Loughborough Lightning. So get down to that if you can. But they're not winning games. Mm. They've got Six Nations Player of the Year, Ellie Kildun, in their team. They're not winning games. Some key signings for me, though, Alex Callender. All right, it was criminal that she was actually left without without a team for so long. This a player who's very much in form this year. She won Welsh Writers Player of the Year. So she's going there. Also Kaylee Powell, which I thought was interesting because she is a 15. So Ellie Kildun, Kaylee Powell, I don't know, maybe Kaylee can play 9. She can play centre, to be honest. She's a super sub. But yeah, are they going to turn it around this season?
Yeah, they've definitely been a team that have not played to the sum of their parts. Mm. It's felt at times like lots of individuals feeling like they have to take responsibility for a ball carry or a break. I remember doing a commentary last season where Ellie Kildun had the most line breaks, but was also the most turned over. That's her ability to get into space and get away, but where are the teammates backing her up to stop her getting turned over? So yeah, I think if they can work on that dynamism and you know, working for each other, the notable names, Laura Delgado's in there, part of that formidable Gloucester Hartlepool scrum of the last two seasons. Harriet Miller-Mills, who we mentioned, Sara Svoboda from Lightning, Maya Muller as well. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Al Cal is the key signing there. All right, let's move on then. We're going alphabetically. Leicester Tigers. We mentioned Vicky McQueen making way. Tom Hudson taking on the role of head coach. They've got, again, 12 players away at WXV from various nations, likes of Amy Kakane, Fran McGee, and PWR Player of the Year Meg Jones, who is injured, of course, but they're hoping that she will be back around the time that the internationals are as well. She's key to them, isn't she?
You know what? Literally,
you don't want a team to have one player.
You don't want a team to have one player, but you know what? They're a new team. Let's highlight it. It was first season last year. They're developing their squad. And Meg Jones was a huge signing for them, and she was massive for them as a player. She is literally the key to that team. I mean, she scored tries like something out of nothing. Mm. You know, she really is that fantastic. And I really fear for them opening without their internationals and without Meg Jones. That's going to be a tough opening season for them.
Against the champions as well. So good luck to them for that game this weekend. They also have another couple of signings worth mentioning. Jenny Maxwell, who's been a lifelong Tigers fan, who joined from Lightning, having been there since the P15s launched. Emily Heinrich, USA international, who's away on international duty in WXV. Evie Wills. And a massive shout for Zainab Alema, who, if you don't know, Z, she's a prop with a massive social following, only really committed to rugby in her 20s, and she's made it her mission to become the first black Muslim woman to play for England. One of her main goals, of course, of reaching the Premiership. She was brilliant in the PWR up, making the step up from the Championship, and I didn't get to see it, but I hear she more than held her own against Laura Keats, Rugby World Cup winner, in the scrum, and has been pretty good in defence. So we love it, Z. Keep up the good work and inspiring plenty of people behind you.
Loughborough Lightning, were they the most, how do I say this nice, underperforming team?
That's a nice last, way of putting
yeah.
it. Yeah.
I just, and out of respect for
the
players.
I mean, who, them or Quinns, but anyway.
Well, okay. But you'd say with the players that they had, you expected more. Are we going to see more this year? I'm just going to ask this straight away. Yes, they're signings. Then for me, with Bristol Bears getting Emma Orr, Loughborough Lightning went out and went shopping. Can I just give you a potential backline
for
Loughborough Lightning? Helen Nelson passes to Olive Kelter, who then passes to Emily Scarrett on a wide arc, who's then hit with a short line from Helena Rowland, who then has Chrissy Schofield on her left, or potentially GB7's superstar Alicia Maud to her right.
You paint quite an image, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Not to mention, then, they've got some big forwards as well.
Mm.
Captain Fantastic, Rachel Malcolm.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, they have to put... You've got to get a tune out of that team.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got Kieran Bell as well, who was going really well for Edinburgh in the Celtic Challenge. Ailis Martin, who, you know, another young Scot who's come in from Tigers. I think Nathan Smith is clearly getting a very good name for himself. Mm. I think, you know, in previous eras, perhaps it was all a bit nicely. And I think a few of the players have said, well, Nathan Smith, he doesn't do an awful lot with a smile on his face, but you know exactly where you stand. You know whether you're doing what he wants or whether you're not, and then he'll tell you what he needs from you. And I think the players are really responding to that. And in terms of team culture, sometimes it's we all love each other and it's going to be absolutely great, which is clearly what's happening under Sean Lynn at Gloucester Hartlepool.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Look, 1-7, lost 9. They've got to change those stats this year.
Yeah, all right. Saracens then. Well, is it time for them to be where they need to be? They've got to stop losing semi-finals, haven't they?
Oh, and again, this team, you know, they're almost like France. Sometimes you watch them and you're like, oh my God, this is the best team in the world. Like, no one can touch them. And then they have an off game.
Mm.
And it doesn't look like they even know one another. They're not playing with one another. So, yeah, I think it's not a culture thing, because obviously all these clubs have great culture. But I do think it's a cohesion thing. If they can stay connected, and maybe that's, you know, the fact they've got so many superstars that are getting pulled in and out, I don't know. But it's then about gelling back quickly, because they have. I mean, Sophie Dugoody. Any team with Sophie Dugoody should be winning the Premiership, in my view.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, she certainly needs to get through her fitness battle in terms of that injury that she had. 17 players away at WXV. Mm-hmm. 6 Red Roses, I've counted. 5 Canadians, 3 Welsh, 3 Scots. Their first 3 games up. They're home to Trailfinders this weekend, round 1. Then they're away to Sale Sharks. And then that game I mentioned, away to Bristol. They've got the likes of Charlotte Wright-Haley. Emma Hardy came in from Lightning. Gabby Senft has come back into the PWR, and she's come over from France. Fancy Bermudez,
that's
another
a
one
good
of those.
One.
Yeah.
That's a really good signing, the wing. She scored, actually, for Canada, didn't she? WXV1 last weekend.
Yeah, they've lost the likes of Grace Moore, Emma Taylor, and, of course, Sonic, Sonia Green, Anne Goddard even, put my teeth in, who's retired. But yes, we will wrap up there. As Caleb tells us, we're out of time. Sale Sharks?
Yes, okay. So with my former teammate, Rachel Taylor, the coaching head there, look, they've had a tough time of it. I think, you know, Rachel Taylor's been very open and honest about the recruitment up north there. They're competing with Rugby League. I think they found it quite hard to create that strength and depth. But in saying that, they've made some good signings. You mentioned it earlier, Gwen Cleanne Purse. Oh my gosh, this girl can scrummage on her own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is a real asset to them. And then I thought it was very interesting that they've got Robin Wilkins from Exeter Chiefs. You know, Robin Wilkins, you forget how many caps she's got. You know, she's been in it and around it. And again, you know, she probably will be away with the Welsh international squad, but she will be a steady eddy for them. And I think she's gone there for more game time, and she should get it there. Because I don't think Beatrice Rigoni is a 10. I think it's better if they move her out into the centre, maybe Robin Wilkins in a fly half.
And how many caps does she have?
Yeah, 70 odd.
70 odd.
But it's 70. A lot. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Literally, she's been in and around the programme. I think she's a great signing for them. And look, Sale Sharks, they had a difficult start to the season last year, but let's not forget round 18, they beat Bristol. And that wasn't a scratch Bristol team. They beat Bristol. So, yeah, let's see what they can bring now.
Yeah, Beatrice Rigoni also managing to get her Italian mate Sofia Stefan there. So a new Italian partnership there. Got some young England players, England under-20s like Neve Swales, Sophie Hopkins, both likely to feature heavily at the start of the season. So yeah, be interesting to see where Sale Sharks end up on the log by the end of this season. Now, you mentioned at the very start, Phil, as we move on to Trail Finders, Giselle Mather going out the door. Clearly, some differences in outlook with Ben Ward, who seemed to oversee things at Trail Finders. Barney Madison, head coach, led the men's club to the championship title as a player. They've named Kate Zachary as club captain. Certainly, that's not a bad move to make. But nope. I guess the first question for me, looking back perhaps at your time as a player, do you go into environments or sign for clubs because you like the look of what's being offered and the top end? Are there going to be players that have joined that club that have just seen Giselle Mather going out the door going, what? Hold on a minute. I came because of her.
Well, yeah, I think Abby Dow made no qualms about it. She went there because of Giselle. And look, yeah, it is important who you're playing for, I personally believe. I think you've got to believe in the culture and you've got to believe in the coach and that he or she is going to facilitate the best possible environment for you to excel. You need to believe in that. So hopefully that's what they're going to continue to do, because they've got some interesting signings, haven't they? Look, Chloe Rowley, Lisa Thompson, Emma Taylor, the Canadian player from Saris. I thought that was a big move, actually.
Yeah, Grace White, Brooke Bradley from Chiefs, Lisa Thompson, GB7s. And yeah, Emma Taylor from Saris. 33 appearances and a couple of spells for Saris, but she's been the power-up captain. Everyone loves a lock who can take the kicks.
Yeah, exactly right. But no, you've got to give him credit. Debut season last year, won 5 games. That's good, you know, and for a team that, you know, didn't have many of these big names last year. So they've certainly added well. They can build on that. I think they could be a mid-table contender this year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have run the rule over all the teams. I don't know how accurately we stayed to time. Maybe it's an overall 7 out of 10 on that. Okay. but what do we want to see this season, Phil?
We want to see really competitive games. I don't want to see any 60s. I'd like to get rid of that. So teams putting 60 points on another. I'd like to see a bit more competition. Obviously, I'm hoping for some free-flowing rugby. I'm looking to see some new trick plays. Let's see some, you know, funny lineouts, funny kicks. Let's see some back rows doing little chip and chases. I don't know. It's exciting, isn't it? Start of the season.
Is it time that we saw a different top four? What likelihood do you think there is of that?
I think that's tricky, because then you say, obviously you want to see a different top four, but out of those top four, who can you see falling below par?
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's ultimately Loughborough Lightning to mix up the party at this stage, isn't it? Because they finished fifth. That was bare minimum for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they have said that for them, it's now top four. It has to be an improvement on last season. So their matchups, their games are going to be really key, aren't they, as to actually who do they turn over? You talked about the talent, you know, in that theoretical back line.
Yep.
It's got to happen, hasn't it?
It has to happen. I really hope they're putting that internal pressure on themselves as well, because, my gosh, if I was in that back line, I'd be so excited to play. Like, I'd be absolutely buzzing to start this season. So I don't know whether we're going to see a shake-up of the top four, but maybe we could see a shake-up in that top two. I mean, Sean Lynn has already come out and said, look, this year is going to be the most competitive ever, and we are prepared to lose games, because I think that's what's going to happen. So then it all comes about timing. Maybe you're going to lose the odd game at the beginning of the season, but as long as you finish on that high come the end of the season, then that's all that matters.
Yeah, and of course we've got a game a weekend to look forward to on TNT Sports. I should mention my employers on that score. But we do have a number of clubs who are also going to be doing some live streaming over the course of the season. So Exeter Chiefs, I know, are at it. Harlequins and Saracens. You know, all of these clubs are looking to see what they can do to support the coverage of the PWR. So if you can't find a game that's on TNT Sport, make sure that you look on the club social media followings and find out if they are streaming as well. And of course, I'm sure the PWR channels themselves will also be promoting where they are. But we've talked about what we want to see this season. What do you want to see this season? And if you've kept an eye on our socials since we've got going this week, we want to hear from you. We've got a phone number where we want you to message us via WhatsApp with a voice note and tell us your thoughts on the league. It could be that you disagree with a player of the match choice. It could be that you found the best burger at one of the grounds. It could be that you're a coffee connoisseur, or you're going to be our stadium's grand secret service agent. Maybe even you'll be a regular contributor and we'll have out in the field reporters. Everything is welcome. The number is on our Instagram, but take it down now, note it down, put it in your phone as the power line, and keep in touch with us on a weekly basis. We want to hear from you. 07-880-716-219. That number again, 07-880-716-219. And here is our first ever voice note down the power line from Glenn.
Hey, Power Pals. It's Glenn here from Exeter. I just wanted to call in and say I'm super excited about the coming PWR season. It's going to be a unique one with the condensed scheduling and also these first few weeks where clubs are going to be without their key internationals. I'm expecting a few upsets, I think, in these first 2 weeks. We'll see what happens. But of course, it's all about Chiefs for me. And a key sign and a key returnee for us is Liv McGovern. She led us to the final a few seasons ago, and I'm hoping she'll kick us back there again this season. And hopefully we get to finish the story and lift the PWR trophy.
There we go. A bit of analysis, a player to watch, expectation, talking about the congested season. I mean, Glenn's going to be hosting the podcast.
I know, he's set the bar very high, isn't he? Cue next week, we just have someone going, "Aye, match was great, bye."
we welcome that too. Please, don't let Glenn be just the only contributor. We really, really want to hear from you. That number, one more time, 07880-716-219. Get in touch on the power line. Okay, another new feature. We've got another clip for you coming up. What if you just had one question to ask of one other player across the PWR? That is going to be our weekly baton challenge. Now, it might be, I don't know, to Meg Jones when she's fit. Did you really mean for that kick to stay in field last week? Or to Poppy Leach, how do you balance managing a pathway university programme with training? Or maybe to Beatrice Rigoni, what brand of shades do you wear and where can I get some? What would be your one question to anybody else, Phil?
You know what? I'm just thinking, like with Meg Jones, I'm like, do you actually think when you play? And I don't mean that in any offence, but she just like, it's like she's just like, do, do, do.
Just happens.
Do, do, yeah. Do, 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 do. Love ooh, it. I'll make a break.
Yeah.
You know?
So kicking us off, we do have our first, and it comes from a back-to-back PWR title winner, a stalwart of the league, and a good egg too. So let's head over to the champions and hear who's going to get us up and running with their one question.
Hey, PowerPod. Rachel Lund of Gloucester Harbour here. My one question is for Rowmaster Mulhern. When is the Barbarians Mackies All Over the World review coming out, please?
The Mackies review all over the world. Does that mean anything to you, Phil? I mean, apart from, you know, it being about fast food.
Yeah. No, so I'm intrigued. There's got to be something to that, isn't there? There's a story there.
There is.
There
we
is
will
a
get
story.
To Rowmaster Mulhern and whatever she's been up to on Barbarians time to update you, hopefully, by next week. Now, before we wrap things up, time for one more weekly feature. We are the Power Pod, so of course, we've got to have a power play. and I think it's got to be Philippa Tuttiot's power play, PT's power play. It might be when we've got some rugby and analysis, a bit of analysis. It might be a shrewd signing. Mm-hmm. It might have been someone that carried the most amount of drinks back from the bar. So, you know, first episode, Phil, what's going to be your power play to kick us off?
Oof, okay. Well, you know what? Seeing as we've been rinsing the transfers, my first power play is awarded to Bristol Bears and signing Emma Orr. Well done.
Well done. Well
nice
done.
Bit of business.
Excellent. So Phil's power play there going to Bristol. Look, we're really grateful for all of you tuning in. We promise to try and keep this as snappy and sharp, maybe even entertaining, God forbid, as we possibly can. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and obviously, if you're at a game this weekend, tell us about it via the power line. Hopefully, you're getting that message. And look, Phil, we're here because plenty of other people before us have been doing some brilliant work in this space. Like said, Johnny Hammond and the Women's Rugby Pod is one.
Yeah, look, the good, the scars, the rugby.
Yeah, key. Sam, by the way, the Women's Rugby Show, more great work over there.
Rugby Rodeo, if you want to listen to two current players giving you really good insight, that's a nice one.
Yeah, there's also our friends at Squidge Rugby who've done various look backs and retrospectives. I understand that that it's the World Cup 2014 in their sights next, which will be great leading to that Women's World Cup in England next year.
Yeah, there's Stronger Than You Think, that's a nice one.
And Say It How It Is, of course, the Welsh Connection.
Yes, the Welsh one. And then TW2 as well.
Yeah, and I think we also had the Welsh Regional Rugby Appreciation podcast.
Yes, but if you are looking for that, put it into your search and is WRRAP okay. And then it will come up.
There we go. So we really appreciate the work that everybody else has done in this space. We are merely following their lead and we hope that you will stay with us over the course of this PWR season. We look forward to it. PowerPod is a Level production produced by Caleb Matombwa. We'll see you next week.
Bye.